12 years ago, there was a young woman who died in Rome at the age of 28 years old, Chiara Corbella Petrillo. She had already lost two young children when they were very young, right after childbirth, and now she had given her life for her one-year-old son, Francesco. She lived her last few years of her life was incredible, intense suffering, filled with a lot of suffering. Yet the book that was written about her life, this young woman who died just a decade ago, is called Witness to Joy. It has a picture of her on the cover. Her body, now you could see the effects of cancer, and she's radiating with joy. And then you read through about her life, and it's a complete witness to the joy of God and the joy within suffering. From the book, in her final days, I'll just read the passage to you. Chiara was seated in a wheelchair, looking lovingly toward Jesus in the tabernacle. Her husband, Enrico, found the courage to ask her a question that he had been holding back. Thinking of Jesus' phrase, "My yoke is sweet and my burden light," he asked his wife, "Is this yoke, this cross, really sweet as Jesus said?" A big smile came across Chiara's face. She turned to her husband and said in a weak voice, "Yes, Enrico, it is very sweet." Chiara is a servant of God who will hopefully soon be a saint in the church. Her suffering was very real, but so was her joy, very real. And it's a joy which, in the midst of those circumstances, almost seems like it's out of place, like it doesn't fit into the circumstances in which she was at. Yet it was a joy, and it was a real joy. And it's joy that's not, in those circumstances, humanly possible. It's not humanly possible, so how is it possible at all? There's only one answer, and it's the cross of Jesus Christ. It's the Son of Man who is lifted up. You look to him on the cross, and in the midst of the cross, there's both real suffering, yet there's real joy in the cross. The fullness of death is upon the cross, and the fullness of life is upon the cross, and the fullness of love, which the joy of the cross is that our sufferings in life, which no person can escape, when they're united to Jesus' sufferings and to the cross, they give meaning, they give life. And that it makes even the greatest crosses that you bear, that yes, they're bitter, yes, they're heavy, but they're also, in union with Jesus, something that can be sweet and light and a source of real joy. We're right in the middle of Lent, in the midst of this season of penance, and we're 2 weeks from entering into Holy Week, entering into Jesus' passion. And here the church, in the middle of Lent, plops down this Sunday, Lectare Sunday. And it's a Sunday in which the church speaks of joy, and it speaks of rejoicing. And it almost seems like this Sunday, Lectare Sunday, it's out of place. It doesn't fit within the whole rest of the season of Lent. But yet the church gives us this as a reminder, as it reminded us as we entered into Lent, that when we fast and when we pray, we're not to do it as the pagans did, but we do it with joy. We do it focused on God. And to remind us that the passion of Jesus that we're to enter into and the cross, that suffering and joy, they don't contradict one another. In fact, they don't just not contradict one another, but they're in union with one another. when we're in union with Jesus. I want to make an emphatic point, and I want you to understand me and hear me well. You were not created to be a good person. You weren't created to be a good person. That's like saying, I wake up every morning to breathe oxygen. Is that true? Sure, of course it is. But there's something massively higher than that. You weren't created to be a good person. Because a person who gets this lie stuck in their head, they're like, oh, Christianity is about being a good person. Well, weren't there people like the ancient Greeks and even pagans from different areas who were good people, virtuous people, who did good things, good deeds before Jesus? Yes. Well, then what do I need Jesus for, to be a good person? Christianity is not about simply being a good person. It's about something so much higher than that. It's about becoming a saint. It's about becoming a saint, and how that happens is something that's beyond our human powers. It means taking our sufferings and our crosses and united with Jesus's, being able to live them with joy. That is not something you can do outside of Jesus. It is not possible. To live our suffering with real, life-giving joy. That this is the core of what holiness is. And this is what transforms our good deeds compared to wicked deeds, as being deeds, like St. Paul says, that are done in God. That they're things that we do now, which impact more than just you do a good thing for a person, a genuinely good act of charity, and that's good for your soul, and that's good for that person. No, there's something more that happens in them now because of Jesus and the cross. That your sufferings, you suck it up and you put on a happy face. That's not what suffering with joy means. But you do that so the people around you don't feel bad. No, there's something so much universally massive that happens when we unite our sufferings with Jesus. It's called, at the heart of it, uniting ourselves with Jesus, because his salvation is one that he has willed to happen upon the cross and to happen through us, through specifically our suffering, is how he continues his work of salvation in the world, through our suffering united with his. Because when our suffering is united with Jesus' suffering, it becomes light in the world. It becomes a source of joy and hope. It's incredible. And something changes differently with the saints too. Because holiness, and you see it with the Pharisees, right? The Pharisees were all about holiness. But the holiness of the Pharisees, I put it in air quotes, holiness of the Pharisees, looks radically different than the holiness of true saints. The Pharisees took themselves very seriously. But the saints, they take God and his word very seriously, but they don't take themselves that seriously, actually. The saints made fun of themselves all the time. That the saints knew that something was out of place, and you know what they knew was out of place? Them. They were completely out of place. That somehow God had chosen to work through them, through all their foibles and weaknesses and stupidity. They were the things that were out of place. Not the Pharisees, it was a whole different mindset. Do you see how that's so radically different? But the saints, they're completely out of place. But yet their focus wasn't upon them simply and their weaknesses, or even their focus upon their own crosses. Their focus was upon Jesus and his promises and what he would do. And there's a way in which this sort of holiness lived as the saints live, and as we're called to live, as we were created to be, it lifts the weight of sin off our shoulders. It doesn't all depend on you. The weight of sin has been lifted up. It's been raised up. Look upon the cross. That's where it's at. What's upon us now is a different weight. It's the weight of glory. It's the weight of the secret of the saint is this radical trust in God that he chose and he is working through you, through trust, through faith, through your good works in that way then. And so you see this all throughout Christianity and all the great saints. Take someone like Padre Pio. If you've ever seen, look up a video, because, you know, he lived into the late 1960s, so there's videos of him celebrating Mass. This dude, when he was celebrating Mass, he was intense, and there was a passion in the celebration of Mass, and he's sweating. He's a man who, at night, would often wrestle physically with the devil, and he bore in his own body the stigmata, the wounds of Christ. Yet he's a person that nearly everyone who came to him, his advice was to hope, to pray, and not to worry. And he would often tell his servers after Mass, when they went back to the sacristy, he would say, there are three things in this life that are completely useless. Washing a donkey's head, pouring more water into the ocean, and preaching to nuns, friars, and priests. Because he said, so many of these people who their whole life's work is God's work, they've lost what the true joy of the gospel is. Or that they've heard it all before. And so that the incredible light of what the gospel is meant to do and how it's meant to lighten the weight of everything in our lives off of our shoulders when we carry our crosses with him, that becomes lost. I had somebody I studied in seminary with. He was a priest of Rockford, Illinois. A couple months ago, we got word that he became very sick very suddenly. Within a couple days after that, we got word that he was in hospice, and then like the next day, he had died. It was really quick. Father John Bachlin. And another priest I was in seminary with, Father Jared, he went to the hospital with him when John received word that this is terminal, and there's nothing we can do. Start preparing for the end. And so they went back to the rectory, and John was a little quiet, and Jared asked him, he said, are you nervous, man? John responded, not as nervous as you should be. You have to preach my funeral. To be able to have real, authentic joy in the midst of and in the face of suffering. Chiara Corbella, she said that, and she prayed to God that she could handle the physical suffering. She could handle the pain. But she had said the one thing she could not handle was the people who were coming to her room who were all filled with gloom, and they were filled with this dark sadness. She said, as if dying is the worst evil we can suffer. And so she said she prayed to God that God would send her joyful visitors, And this was a grace that she said was given to her at the end of her life. People came in and the people said it was her joy that changed within them. That's not human. That's God alive within them. The Gospel of John that we hear today, Jesus speaks to Nicodemus the Pharisee of light and darkness. And then he says this verdict, the light came into the world, right? But people preferred darkness to light. They preferred the darkness to light. How does God change that preference in people who prefer their wicked deeds to the light of God? How does God choose to change that preference in people? Through you, specifically through your suffering, united to Jesus's, where it's a suffering with joy, that the joy and the light of God is able to radiate through you. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Lutheran pastor. He died in the Holocaust, and he said that your Christian life should make non-believers question their disbelief in God. Your life as a Christian should make non-believers question their disbelief in God. Because it's the light of God shining through us. When we suffer with joy, we unite our crosses with His. It's like the stained glass windows of the saints, where they're only beautiful when the light is shining through them. Good people of St. Wenceslaus, live your faith with joy. Suffer your crosses with joy. Your crosses at work, your crosses at home with your family, your crosses in your marriage, your crosses with your kids, and your crosses even in the face of death. Suffer them with Jesus, which is to suffer them with real joy. Laetare, rejoice.